This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
Good pivot.
soon after art school, I went to Japan for 19 years. I only expected to be there for a couple of years, but, I just found it a very interesting place. Met gallery directors, robotics engineers, medical practitioners, and, I guess the three most interesting, most impactful things in Japan at the time for me were, in this order, sumo wrestling.
Oh, I love it.
Buto dance.
Yeah.
And of course, Japanese robotics.
Yeah, I mean, the perfect place for it, really. Such a technologically advanced community. And also, art and science are both such creative and complementary endeavours. Did you have a scientific background as well as an artistic background?
Oh, not at all. All of the projects and performances really are kind of hands-on. So, for example, the third hand, which was completed in 1980, that was a 3 degree of freedom extra hand for my right arm. And at the time, it was sophisticated enough to get invitations from the Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena and the Johnson Space Center in Houston to demonstrate the hand to the extravehicular activity group. So that goes back quite a bit now, and at the time, and in some ways, it's still a reasonably state-of-the-art device.
Absolutely. And so for anyone that's not familiar with your work, I mean, for starters, I highly recommend they get on the internet and have a look. But could you give us some examples of some of the things you've done before? Because I know that body suspension and modification has been a big part of your history.
Well, I guess initially it was sort of exploring the physical and psychological parameters of the body. So, for example, I made three films of the inside of my body in 1973. So from that time, the body was not seen as a sort of a surface of skin, but rather an internal architecture of structures and spaces and circulatory systems. And, 20 years later, in 1993, that led to engineering a sculpture for the inside of my body. It was for the fifth Australian sculpture Triennale, whose theme was site-specific works. But instead of a sculpture for a public space, I decided there should be a work of art for a private internal space. And so if you can imagine this object closed as a capsule structure, inserted down the esophagus and into my stomach cavity, it opens and closes, extends and retracts, has a flashing light and a beeping sound. So a simple machine choreography, inside a soft organ of the body. So as well as, attaching technology to the body with my third hand and extended arm, which will be on exhibition at the RMIT gallery, there were also robotic exoskeletons. One of the most recent ones, the Stickman exoskeleton, which is a minimal but full body 6 degree of freedom exoskeleton. When my body is attached to it, the body is sort of algorithmically actuated for 5 hours continuously for the performance. And then when my body is not there, it's an interactive installation in itself. And we recently engineered a mini stick man. So if you can imagine, visitors could come to the gallery, bend the limbs of the mini stick man, and then be able to insert their choreography into the installation, into the performance. So a kind of electronic voodoo.
That's fantastic.
It just sounds amazing. But I was just, you mentioned earlier about doing a sculpture of the inside. I mean, I can understand how you can, I suppose, copy it or you know, film it, but how do you actually create a sculpture of it? Is it like you say, a cavernous sort of object that you create? And I mean, how do you present it?
No, it's actually an object that was inserted with the help of an endoscopist.
Okay, yep.
Down my esophagus, inside my stomach, and we did have a medical endoscope to track the insertion and document the performance.
Yep.
So I'm referring to an actual, simple machine inside the human body. Yeah.
You're certainly putting your body on the line a lot. And I think it's really interesting timing, because I feel like since we've seen more happening with climate change and even just science fiction over the past, 30, 40 years, there's a lot of interesting work out at the moment, which is very much like a post-human kind of world and looking at biotechnology as expedited evolution. How do you feel about putting your own actual body through these processes? Has it changed how you see human bodies as a whole?
Well, I was always interested in the kind of evolutionary architecture of the human body, and also comparative anatomies, with insects and animals and other living entities. For me, the body, what we're concerned about now is not so much the body as a site for the psyche nor for social inscription, but rather the body as an object, no longer an object of desire, but an object that should be redesigned because, the body in itself, although complex and flexible and adaptive, is also one that malfunctions often, that has a limited lifespan. And in a sense, the body now is not simply a biological body. It's become this kind of contemporary chimera of meat, metal and code, of the biological in combination with the machinic and the algorithmic. So we're all, in a sense, performing beyond our beyond our biology. And we're doing that right now. We're projecting our physical presences to each other, in this case only acoustically, but certainly remotely.
Fantastic. That's such an interesting perspective. I feel like conceptually this exhibition is going to be quite mind-blowing. Could you tell us a little bit more about the actual Future You exhibition, what we can expect to see, and who are the artists involved?
Oh, that's really not one for me to answer. I haven't sort of memorized all the artists in
that's
the
okay.
exhibition.
I have some cheat sheets, so we'll fill people in later. But I do, okay, well, I know that we have, for example, a very well-known name, Patricia Piccinini, is involved. Yourself, we have Holly Block, Karen Casey. There's quite a few different artists, designers and researchers. Could you maybe tell us a bit?
I mean, I know from speaking to the curators, it is going to be a sort of a diverse exhibition, and not only in terms of who's participating, but the actual installations and objects that will be shown.
Was there like a particular commission brief that was handed out to each of you in curating this exhibition?
Oh, I think it was left to the artist primarily, but obviously, you're invited to participate because of the work that you're involved with. And my contribution is kind of limited to the space. So for example, for the 2020 Adelaide Biennial of Australian Art, we engineered a 9-metre long, 4-metre high stick figure robot actuated by pneumatic rubber muscles and, with online interactivity. Wow. But obviously such a very large sort of project could not be displayed in Future You. The stick man exoskeleton, though, was one in which not only there's the possibilities of performing with it, not only is it possible to interact with it for visitors coming to the gallery, but it's also not only an installation that involves choreography, but also an installation that involves sound. So the audience will be immersed in the sounds that are generated by the movements of the stick man. And these are generated by sensors on the stick man. And so as the exoskeleton is actuated and animated algorithmically, it generates signals that are translated into sounds that sort of register the movements.
Incredible. Mm. I can't even imagine how you go about creating and designing such a thing.
Well, it's always with the expertise and assistance, you know, of engineers and programmers. Mm. You know, it's something that, you know, can't be done by one person in a limited amount of time. And at the moment, I've also got a large commission for the new Science Gallery in Melbourne, which will be completed by the end of this year for an exhibition titled Swarm, the beginning of next year in February. And that involves, you know, something that's about 9 metres high, you know, eight metres in diameter. And that's also using pneumatic rubber mussels.
Okay.
And that's so it's an anthropomorphic machine, in effect, you know, with muscles, tendons, a skeletal structure, vision, and a rudimentary brain in the form of circuitry.
Well, that sounds like a must-see as well.
Exactly. And that, did you say that's in a new gallery coming up, is it, the science one?
The new Science Gallery opens soon with their first exhibition titled Mental, but the second exhibition with the theme of Swarm,
which is what you're doing,
for 2022.
Okay.
I will include that new commission, yeah. So that'll be an original work for that space.
Okay. Goodness, you sound like you're very busy, Salah. There seems to be so many things either in the pipeline or you're doing at the moment.
Well, it's been frustrating with the pandemic that you can't travel internationally. I mean, most of my past major projects and performances happened overseas. So, you know, even though I'm in exhibitions in South Korea, China and Taiwan, all of those exhibitions have been postponed to openings for later in the year. Mm. So it is very frustrating when that happens and you can't be there.
Oh,
you can't install stuff and you can only send documentation.
And it's such a different experience for an artist, you know, like to be able to put the final finessing, you know, processes on your own work is very important.
Yep. Well, it just doesn't make it possible to do a physical performance. I mean, there's always online interactivity with many of my performances, but it's this counterpoint between the physical presence of the artist and the physical action in a particular location and the online interactivity and remote participation. A performance for Pika several years ago was titled Rewired Remix for Radical Ecologies, and my body was in Perth at the Perth Institute of Contemporary Art, but for 5 days, 6 hours every day, I could only see with the eyes of someone in London, I could only hear with the ears of someone in New York, but anyone anywhere could access my body via my right arm exoskeleton and remotely animate me. So I was literally in three places at once, two virtually in London and New York, and one physically in Perth, sharing, you know, visual and acoustical senses with people in other places, but also distributing my agency to others elsewhere.
What an incredible thing. I'm really glad that we're able to have at least your auditory presence today. So thank you so much, Stelak, for coming on, Joy. And if anyone wants to see this exhibition, and I think they absolutely should, because, I mean, for your work alone, but there are so many wonderful artists involved, It's called the Future You Exhibition. It's on at RMIT Gallery and it goes from the 29th of July until the 23rd of October 2021. And I believe if you check out www.rmitgallery.com, you will be able to find out more. But thank you so much for coming on air with us and good luck for your next projects.
Yeah, not at all. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Stella Ark here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.